It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. On the show today, double takes. Ideas that dare us to take a second look. The other day, I went for a walk in my neighborhood with a new friend and her dog.
Her name is Basha. You can call her Basha.
Hi, Basha.
So sometimes little kids at first gonna have a moment of hesitation, but then curiosity wins and they're always gonna see it.
This is artist Agnieszka Pilat. And as we strolled with her dog, Basha, we turned a lot of heads.
What the hell is that? Oh my God.
This is Basha. She's hanging out with us. Because
Basha is not just any dog. She's a robot dog who came from the company Boston Dynamics and cost around $200,000.
Yeah, you can touch her. Just don't put your fingers in the joints.
Oh, yeah, no.
Do people ever get scared?
Small kids sometimes are a little uneasy for a second. People will ask questions. How fast can it run?
Okay.
Or
what's the answer?
I don't know, because it's like, it's not a running dog for me.
Okay,
so.
Right.
The factory name for these four-legged robots is Spot. They can run up to 11 miles per hour and were built to enter dangerous places like collapsed buildings and to help patrol areas. Maybe you've seen the video of one monitoring President Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence, or the reports of them assisting New York City police with a raid. Critics say they are simply tools of a burgeoning surveillance state. But as an artist, Agnieszka says people's response to Basha shows it's more complicated than that.
It's a Rorschach test. You saw this a little bit, right? How different people react differently. It tells you a lot about the person, how they react towards Basha. Which I think is kind of cool.
So this is literally the route that I take my dog on every single day, and she doesn't listen to me like Basha
listens. Like Basha?
Yeah.
There you go. Another advantage of a robot dog.
Oh, what is that?
Basha?
Robot
Basha?
Dog. Do you want to?
Basha can be trained to move autonomously. But today, engineer Glenn Gartner and his son Devin were operating Basha with a remote control. During our walk, she confused many humans and real dogs, too.
She doesn't have a smell, so dogs really are very confused about the no smell because it kind of looks like a dog, walks like a dog, but doesn't smell like a dog, which is a big problem.
I'm a tech reporter, and I've been reporting on digital privacy for over a decade, and yet I found Basha strangely cute, despite knowing what she could be capable of.
Yeah, okay, good girl. You wait. Why am I talking like this to her? I sound ridiculous.
Agnieszka was trained as a classical portrait artist. But in 2013, she moved to San Francisco and began painting portraits of technology, which eventually led her to Basha.
I wanted to paint the portrait of a celebrity of today. And so 2018, I met Basha, and I thought, okay, if Andy Warhol were alive, his Marilyn Monroe would be robot Basha. So that's how I first encountered the robot.
After seeing her portraits of Basha, the engineers at Boston Dynamics came up with another idea.
They're like, well, you can't just paint the portrait. You have to play with the robot. You have to teach the robot how to paint. So it was actually initiated by engineers at Boston Dynamics.
Today, Basha helps Agnieszka explore that tension between humans and technology. The two do exhibits together, even paint together.
But she's a tool to you. She is not a sentient being and not a substitute for a real mammal in your house. She's something completely different.
She is. She's a different species on her own. But she's not the vacuum cleaner. So she's more
right.
than that. But yes, but I mean, I understand technology. She's not self-aware. She doesn't have self-awareness. And yeah, she doesn't have some weird emerging behaviors.
And yet you feel like you're nurturing her in some way, too.
Yes. Yes. But in a sense, it's like if you had a doll, you know, we get attached to. And you were talking to Basha. I mean, everyone speaks to her.
I couldn't help it. But I think part of it is the way that she moves is so fluid and smooth and animalistic that you want to be respectful to her in some ways or to show compassion.
So this is interesting. So it goes to the core of robotics. We start assigning to them abilities and maybe even feelings.
Yeah.
Actually, it's really, a lot of it is just really engineering. It's going to be interesting to see if actually AI will enable robotics to come out of its cage, so to speak.
By taking Basha out in public, Agnieszka hopes the spectacle of this robot dog sparks people's curiosity, not just their fear.
As an artist, we are obligated to ask questions and to highlight the big changes that's coming.
What can we learn from those who manage to provoke us to look and then look again? Why should we reconsider something we think we already understand? Today on the show, double takes, ideas from speakers who want us to go beyond a cursory glance, how they're pushing people to look at technology, history, and even recycling with fresh eyes. As an artist, Agnieszka Pilat knows that some might assume she fears AI and its potential threat to her livelihood. So she loves surprising them with the story behind her techno-optimism.
Growing up in communist Poland, I was subjected to Soviet propaganda most of my life.
Here she is on the TED stage.
So this might be kind of strange to say, but today I am a propaganda artist and I work for the machine. How did this happen? Well, let me take you back to my childhood in communist Poland, where crumbling factories were my playground. I didn't have access to modern technology. We didn't have a car, a telephone. We had a radio that played the music of Chopin day and night. But some stations my parents didn't like me to hear.
The uncurtain remains a reality.
I remember one evening, my brother and I could hear a strange broadcast from behind a closed door.
But an iron curtain cannot stop the transmission of radio waves which pass overhead.
It was only many years later when I realized that was an illegal station, Radio Free Europe. But back then, as a little girl, I could see my parents come out of that room, changed, with a sentiment in their eyes that was unknown to me till then. It was hope. That old crackly radio was my first encounter with the miracle of technology. And while this story might seem sad, to me it's really beautiful. Portraiture always tells stories of the privileged class. In Middle Ages, the subject were kings and queens. With the birth of capitalism, Dutch merchants commissioned portraits to indicate their growing influence. Warhol's celebrity portraits were a brilliant commentary on the growing power of pop icons in 20th century America. So, likewise, as a portrait painter, I decided to paint the power brokers of our time, intelligent machine. So when I first came to Silicon Valley from Poland, my grand idea was I want to work for the machine. I want to be the court painter for the machine, for technology. And I started painting portraits of old machines, kind of thinking of them as their royal portraits, because this is the royalty of America. The first thing I consider when painting as a portrait painter is the age of my subject. So when looking at Basha, I ask myself, in robot years, how old is she? Basha was different from all my previous machine subjects, like vintage airplane parts or lunar space modules painted in my studio on a World War II aircraft carrier. They had history, they had personality. Basha's personality wasn't formed yet. Nah, she was like a child, teenager maybe at most, still growing up, receiving frequent firmware upgrades. You see, every time I take Basha for a walk, we meet people in person who are curious. They stop us, they take videos, they ask questions. There is a genuine sense of excitement. But as soon as these videos are posted online, mean comments appear, accusing us of surveillance, robots taking over. People actually threaten to smash Basha into pieces, throw her into a river. In person, if someone doesn't like us, they just cross the street. But on the internet, these fears grow into threats and insults spreading across social media and the search engines. I think the main beauty of robotics is that it forces people to interact with technology in real life. And we're much better in real life as human beings. As soon as someone will post the video online, mean comments are gonna pour in.
Part of me is proud of people for saying, watch out for surveillance. Like, there was a point where I think people were very naive about technology and didn't think about these things. So part of me thinks, good, I'm glad that they're asking questions. Do you think there's something dangerous about it?
I think technology has been unfairly targeted. I think it's even more urgent to engage with technology because there's not going to be a moratorium, no robots, no AI. We have to engage actively. That's the only thing we can do. Like with children. So I think about my work as kindergarten. We are parenting these new technologies. We are parenting AI. It's a kindergarten. And we have to be almost helicopter parenting and teaching and passing on these positive values because otherwise we are in big trouble. In current form, AI is like a young child watching, mimicking the world for the first time in its own unique way. Basha has a physical body that puts her in place and in time. But many AI models, they live in the cloud, disembodied, at universal. They don't have just one teacher or one parent. Such an AI is a global child with the whole of human civilization parenting it. We have to nurture this young prodigy, artificial intelligence. That's what technology is to me. It's hope for a better future. That's why I am a propaganda artist and I work for the machine. Thank you.
That was artist Agnieszka Pilat. You can see her full talk at TED.com and check out the video of my day with Basha at NPR.org. On the show today, double takes. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. We'll be right back.